97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer in from Mark Reardon. And we welcome on Jeff Mordock, White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Joe. How are you doing?
Hey, I have no complaints on this Wednesday. You are covering a lot at the White House because there's always a lot going on. Let's start with something that was just announced, the Apple adding to its investment in the United States. What are the bullet points of this?
Well, the bullet points are this, is basically that we're going to get a $100 billion investment from Apple to make their products in the United States. And this is a big win for Trump in his tariff proposal, because what it shows is that companies are looking at the tariffs, they're looking at what the extra cost to do business is going to be, and they're deciding to build it here in the United States. In the fact that you've got these companies not only willing to make these decisions, but come to the White House. I mean, Tim Cook does not strike me as a guy who deeply supported President Trump in 2024, but here he is at the White House talking about this strategy and standing alongside President Trump and talking about what this means for Apple and what this means for the United States. That in and of itself, to get CEOs who would normally eschew him and certainly wouldn't have been there during the first administration to come in and talk to him, really just shows how much the view of Trump has changed over the last 8 years.
And you know, to that point, I mean, we have seen, I think, you know, thanks to Tim Cook, we have seen a lot of people, like you said, that you'd never would have seen stand with Trump in his first term.
That's exactly right. You know, a great example, and I don't know if this is going to connect with your audience, but here in D.C., Muriel Bowser is a great example. She's the mayor of D.C. She's about as progressive and left-wing as you're going to get. And she has been to the White House for multiple events, even as she fights with President Trump about the potential federal takeover of D.C. She's still going to the White House to talk about the commander's new stadium. She's going to the White House to talk about things in D.C. I mean, she worked with him to get workers, federal workers, back into their offices. So that it's really interesting to see some people you never would have thought. And, you know, she was mayor during his first term, and we never saw her anywhere near the White House. Now, every time we see her, she's at the White House for something.
You know, and to that point of federalizing in D.C., I want to play clip 15 and then ask you about this. This is President Trump.
Somebody from DOJ was very badly hurt last night. You saw that. A young man who was beat up by a bunch of thugs in D.C. And either they're going to straighten their act out in the terms of government and in terms of protection, we're going to have to federalize and run it the way it's supposed to be run.
So, Jeff, what do we know about that shooting, and how do you see this playing out?
Well, so here's what we know about the shooting. It was the DOJ employee. The DOJ employee got it's a famous DOJ employee because his nickname on the internet was Big Balls, and
That's right. Everybody
kind of got a chuckle out of that. So, you know, and then he did interviews as Big Balls. So it's somebody people know. It's not an anonymous DOJ employee. You say Big Balls, most people know who it is. On top of that, so what happened is Sunday night, him and his girlfriend, it was about 4 a.m., they were leaving a party. They were going to get in. They were getting into their car to leave. A group of teens came up to them, made a comment about taking the car. Guy wasn't entirely sure whether they were joking or not, didn't want to find out. Pushed his girlfriend into the car. She kept safe, and the thugs sat there and beat him up. And I don't know if you've seen the footage of him without a shirt, just bloodied and beaten. I mean, it's a hard photo to watch. So that's what we know. They're teenagers. The MPD is currently on the lookout for suspects. It's not clear how much detail MPD has to go on. So that brings Trump back to something that he keeps bringing up, and he's brought this up multiple times, which is federalizing Washington, D.C., which would be almost a federal takeover of the city. That would give Congress control of the purse strings of Washington. He would be able to mobilize federal troops to try and keep the city safe. There's a lot he can do. Trump throws a lot of ideas out there. It's unclear how serious he is. He keeps throwing this out there, and he's even gone so far as to say, well, we're testing it out. But nobody seems to understand what he means when he says we're testing it out. Are they running drills somewhere? Are they talking about this? Are they game planning it? So it's really unclear, but the more this stuff happens, the more likely I think we're going to see some action from President Trump, because he's not letting this go.
No, that is for sure. And then, Jeff, obviously, the big story of the week are the Texas Democrats fleeing Illinois. You know, the president talking about them getting back to Texas. How is the White House handling the discussion on gerrymandering and the discussion on the Texas Democrats?
Honestly, they're largely staying out of it. They're leaving, you know, this up to the Justice Department to decide what they want to do. They're leaving it up to, you know, the senators. But what we could see as we go to the end of this week, the beginning of next week, is more federal involvement and more of a heavy-handed approach from the White House. For now, they've kind of stepped back with a wait and see. But you heard Trump this week talk about that sooner or later the FBI is going to have to get involved and track them down. And sooner or later, we're going to have to start seeing a more aggressive effort to bring them back to Texas. So I think we could start to see that ramp up. But right now, the White House is kind of pulling back from this a little bit.
That's I'm telling you, I can't go a day without this coming up in the headlines. Jeff, we also heard right before I jumped on the air here that there's a chance President Trump could meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in the next week.
It's an interesting, yes. I've seen those reports. A colleague of mine is in the process of, has, I think, just confirmed that. Anyways, but what's interesting is it shows that the President Trump's not willing to give up on Ukraine, but it also shows his posture from Putin keeps changing. He came into the White House. He was very complimentary towards Putin, very much trying to strike a deal. That didn't seem to work. He took an antagonistic approach to Vladimir Putin, highly critical of him on social media, highly critical of him in the press, ramping up sanctions on Russia, and not just Russia, but India, you know, countries that are buying Russian oil, which is helping fund that war, really taking an aggressive stance towards them. Now he seems like that he's used all of his tools trying to go back to what he initially started with, which is a more friendlier posture about sitting down and talking. Now, it's a change from the Biden administration, because one of the problems of the Biden administration is they demonize Putin, but they never ever talked to him, and they never had any conversations with him once he invaded Ukraine. And I don't know how you reach the end of a war without talking about the guy, without talking to the guy who's waging it. This seemed like an unusual strategy. So the fact that we've, you know, if these talks do go through, it seems like that would be a way to start moving forward to something. And as I understand it, one of the conversations is going to be with Putin, but also a second sit down with Putin and Zelensky, which would be stunning if Trump could do that. And also what this aggressive approach shows is how much Trump wants to win a Nobel Prize for peace.
For sure. For sure. And we'll all eyes will be on that. You know, Jeff, Senator Chuck Schumer was north of me yesterday talking about how the tariffs on Canada are to blame for the decrease in tourism in Niagara Falls, New York. I would say that Chuck Schumer should just walk around Niagara Falls, New York and see all the buildings that are about to collapse. And maybe that has something to do with it. But the tariffs, you know, you talk to the Democrats, Trump can't win on the tariffs. Where do we stand on tariffs, and what's the next date approaching that we should be looking for?
Well, the next date approaching is August 8th, which is the deadline that he moved back from August 8th to try and strike more trade deals. What's interesting with that, though, is we had a flurry of trade activity ahead of the August 1st deadline, which was the initial deadline. We had South Korea, Japan, EU. We had a bunch last week ahead of the August 1st. Now, as we approach the August 8th deadline, we have not seen a lot of activity in terms of trade deals. We've seen talks, we've seen negotiations, but it doesn't seem like this administration is prepared to announce much. And when that happens, I guess we're going to see him impose a tremendous amount of tariffs. All the tariffs you saw last week, he revised a lot of tariffs. Some of them went up, some of them went down. Some of them are as high as 50%. I think Brazil's 50% is an example. Some are as low as 15. They're all going to be in place. And it'll be interesting to see, because we're now on Wednesday, we've got till Friday, if we see any countries come forward or any kind of trade deal struck.
And Jeff, yesterday, one of my favorite images, and you know, a lot of things can be made into a meme. And yesterday we saw the president on the roof of the White House. What exactly was going on?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things, because you're in the press room and they clear a lockdown. And usually a lockdown, you think that something very serious has happened, but no, which is President Trump's on the roof. Yeah, President Trump, he was on the roof. He was inspecting a ballroom. This is one of my favorite stories since I've been at the White House. He's just walking. We go out there and he's just walking around on the roof. He wants to put a ballroom on the east wing of the White House. It's going to be about $200 million cost. He says he's paying for it alongside private donors. They have not made who the donors are going to be public yet, if they ever will. But yes, it's a perfect opportunity for meme. Just all these photos of Trump just on a roof walking around. It's not. But, you know, I think it goes back to his background in construction. I mean, one of the things I noticed with President Trump is I've seen so many politicians put on the hard hat and then just look awkward and weird. Whereas because of his background in construction, because he's worn a hard hat so many times, it seems a little more natural when Trump puts on a hard hat and goes to a construction site and kind of walks around. And you kind of saw that yesterday when he was kind of walking around on the roof, looking out and figuring out what to look for as he plans to build this ballroom. It's kind of surprising the White House has never had a ballroom.
Yeah, that is surprising. Well, Jeff, we'll keep our eyes on that. Always great catching up with you, my friend.
Great. Always enjoy coming on here, Joe. Thank you.
That is Jeff Mordack, White House correspondent for The Washington Times. We'll be back after this on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.